Let's read together from Mark chapter 6. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Then Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida, while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. I've just returned from a retreat with a few ministers. As we gathered, we asked each other, "What are you bringing to this space?" A lot of things were mentioned, and one of the ministers said, "I'm bringing compassion fatigue to this gathering." And I asked him, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Compassion fatigue is actually a secondary trauma. And it happens if you get involved with people or animals that were traumatized, spend a lot of time with them. The danger is that you can become traumatized by their trauma. And you start to suffer." And I said, "What are the symptoms?" And he said, "Well, I'm just tired all the time. I've lost hope. The future looks dark. And I can't experience joy, even in the little things that I used to enjoy. Some of the things." And as he was sharing his life, a lot of the other ministers started nodding their heads, as if to say, "I know what he's talking about. Yes, I've got something of that as well." And I wonder what you bring to this space today. Are you aware of what you are carrying with you? The disciples of Jesus gathered together with him, and they brought two big things. A lot of pain. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And there's a big sadness, and I can just imagine Jesus. It's his nephew, and they were very, very close to each other. But there wasn't just pain, there was also joy. They said, "Wonderful things has happened in the ministry." And they started sharing it with Jesus. He looked at them, and after they shared, he said, "Well, let's go off to a secluded place. Let's go into solitude now. And let's displace ourselves. Let's move from the place where we are at this moment. And let's be together by ourselves in order to rest." Yeah, by doing something like that, Jesus actually said that this is the way that life works. The Sanskrit word tatata, the suchness of life. Life is all about receiving energy, taking in and giving energy, spending energy. And Jesus actually says it's your responsibility. And he's actually challenging them, are you self-aware enough to realize this is the time now to go into solitude? This is the time to charge again, not to keep on giving out so easily. I don't know if you've ever been just taken up and we're in the flow where you lose track of time. You didn't even eat. Happened to me sometimes because it's so great what I'm busy with. It gives you no excuse. You're still spending energy, whether it's bad, sorrow, whether it's good, joy, it takes energy. And Jesus said, you've got to learn to do it. It's not the gift that you're born with and just do it naturally, or it's not something that just happens to you. You've got to decide. Be intentional about it. And what Jesus is doing is he's actually teaching them, showing them And he tells them, are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me. Get away with me. You recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He said, you must begin with your own life-giving lives. If you want to be a healthy tree that produces fruit that can benefit other people, you've got to take care of yourself. You cannot love other people if you don't love yourself. You cannot have compassion on other people if you don't have compassion for yourself. You cannot exercise care for others if there is no care for self. So how do we do it? I'd like to take you to four words in this passage and give you a dynamic equivalent, something of what it might mean for us practically today. So the first word is prayer. Jesus went to the mountain and he spent time by himself in prayer. And the concept that I want to leave with you is anchors and wings. Anchor has to do with a way of prayer that we all have to practice, that we all have in common. You know, prayer is lifting the heart and the mind to God, according to one of the oldest faith confessions that we have in the church. But that's a broad concept and idea. There are so many ways to lift your heart and your mind towards God. But there's a way that all the traditions of the church has in common. There are some indicators, like for instance, having a place. You know, Jesus went to the mountain. You've got to have a place, your posture that you come with to that place. Then there's the prayer, the saying, the speaking to God, telling God, sharing your heart with God, asking God. Then there's the passage. There's always scripture, because prayer is not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. And God wants to speak to me through his word. And then there's pondering, just to think about the words of God. We call it meditation sometimes. And then there's contemplation. There's just being with God, to move beyond images, thoughts, and just to be with God. That's an anchor. It will take you all of your life to do it really good. We almost grow in this way of praying and learn how to do this. But then there's our wings. Listen to what the Bible says David did. David went and he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, do you know how to strengthen yourself? I once had a conversation with a few other people, with a famous leader in the West. And one of the guys said, I've dried up. The well has dried up. And perhaps can you help me? Can you give me a book or some advice? What should I do? And after a discussion, he said, it looks to me as if you haven't discovered your wings yet. And the guy said, but what's my wings? He said, it's that unique passage or way, pathway to God that you must discover. It's not the same for everybody. A new journey started for me. Now, and if I can use broad categories, perhaps, just to give you a feel of what it might be. There's the naturalists, nature. Somebody told me when they're in the desert, they are awestruck. Literally, their words dry up and they can't explain what's happening to them. They are filled with awe. They gaze at the stars for hours. It sounds like a mystical experience. If you connect this experience to God, and your awe is not just about the work of God, but for the person that's behind everything, it becomes a form of prayer. There's the ritualists, ritual, smells and bells and symbols. Just makes you come alive, colors. And everything that you see takes you to another place. The intellectualists, it's perhaps those guys that need some illumination. I've got to learn something. I've got to understand something. And if that element is not there, it's not really for me. The enthusiasts, usually people that love to sing, experience emotions intensely. In worship, for instance, the activists, the people that love it when a plan comes together. That's when I sense God's presence, when I saw things happening and I can trust God for things to happen. The socialists, the guys that need to socialize. It's with other people when we started having spiritual conversations and share, my heart just starts to burn. So it's a big question. Do you know how to strengthen yourself in the Lord? Have you discovered a way of prayer? And whatever you call it, you know, meditation, contemplation, intercession, worship, whatever form that really makes you come alive. The next thing is, insist it. This has to do with boundaries. Jesus insisted that they would stop ministering and get away by themselves. So Jesus taught them through this exercise to say no. But if you say no for something, you say yes for something else. If you say yes for something, you say no for something else. Here's a big lesson in life that we've got to discern to say yes and to say no. Because sometimes we say yes to things that are not necessarily sin, but it's unwise. It's unbecoming for the situation in this moment. Paul says, for instance, that we should carry each other's burdens, but each of you will have to carry your own load. So I've got to discern. Is this a load or is this a burden? Because if I try to carry somebody's load, we will become codependent. That will suck out all the energy in you. Not wise. But sometimes it's even a very good thing. It's the right thing that you're busy with. But it's enough. It's beyond your capability. So it's a time to withdraw. The work that we sometimes do for God can kill the work of God that He's doing in us. We've got to be wise. We've got to have that ability to say no. So if you're very tired at this moment, what is your dominant emotion you are experiencing? Is it guilt? I don't do enough. I don't do it good enough. Is it frustration? I'm not really helping people. I'm not really making a big change. Is it fear? What's going to happen if I stop doing it? They will fall to pieces. I can't stop. If you discover your dominant emotion, ask yourself, what is behind this emotion? It's a wonderful message to go on. Through the years, I've discovered a lot of things that contribute, ways of thinking, values. One of the big things that I'm convinced of after a few decades is that our childhood wound plays a big part in the way that we try to assist and to accompany other people. You were brought up with a message. Perhaps the message was that you've got to do it right. If you don't do it right, excellent, don't do it. You might not even get involved in trying to assist and to accompany people that suffer if you are brought up with this message. Of course, you would feel, I won't be able to do it really good. Then I won't do it. If you decide to do it, you might be very hard on yourself. It's not enough. It's not right. I can do it better. Now, perhaps you're brought up with a message that you really accept it and you're really okay if you help people. And that's the only time you really feel worth in your life. You won't be able to say no to people because then you choose not to be okay, and you want to be okay. So you might have these problems with boundaries. we can go on. Are you aware of the message that you were brought up? What are you telling yourself? If you discover it, it brings about a lot of growth in you. You can exchange that belief, that message, for something that is true and will connect you with reality. That's growth, and that's the wonder. We can cut ourselves off from the pain and the suffering around us, and we won't have compassion fatigue. But the problem is, we will never be compassionate. We will not fully become fully human if we cut ourselves off. It's painful to feel and to see and to try and to sit with compassion fatigue. But it brings about growth. That's what Jesus said when he said, if you follow me, you will discover your true self. You will exchange these messages, these ideas about yourself and about life for life-giving ideas. Third thing is, teaching has to do with gifts. Jesus started teaching the people. Not everybody can do that. To teach is to have a gift, a certain ability to help people meet their needs. Now, Paul says that we all have different gifts. And he knows what his gifts are. He said in 2 Timothy 1:11 that I'm an apostle, and I'm a preacher, and I'm a teacher to the Gentiles. He even knew where he should exercise his gifts and where his gifts work at his best. If you serve according to your gift, you will be successful. There will be a lot of fruit, and it would be energizing. But if you don't do it, it would be like writing with the wrong hand. It will take a lot of energy out of you. That's why Peter says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Receive, acknowledge the gift, and then use that gift to serve. In an emergency, you might help people. But if you want to consistently get involved and assist people and accompany people, you've got to do it according to your gift. So here's the question. Do you know your gifts? And do you serve according to your godly makeup, your gifts? Last thing, the boat. It has to do with soul keeping. Let's just have a broader look at what's happening here. Look at all the activities that Jesus participated in. He loved sailing. I think every good Christian should have that experience to sail on a boat. He walked a lot. One day he did the comrades, nearly 90 kilometers in one day. Now, can you imagine walking around for hours with other people, what space it's taking you to, having a lot of conversations? He ate. He loved it. He drank wine. He attended parties. He had a well-faceted soul. Look at the places where it happened. In the city, in the mountains, at the sea, in the wilderness, in the bush. Look at the people that accompanied him. You know, he had his friends. He had his disciples who he shared his life and his ministry with. He went to his family sometimes. A lot of different people. And different things happened to us with different people. And these were all activities that nourished his soul, that helped him to keep his soul alive. And then he thoroughly enjoyed it. That's a picture that a lot of us don't have of Jesus, the laughing Jesus. You know, and Hebrews says that he was anointed with joy above other people. He had a great amount. That might be one of the reasons why people say he's a wine drinker. They just look at him. You know the way he acts. He could really enjoy life And he told his disciples, when you are celebrating a wedding, you don't skimp on the cake and the wine. You feast. You have a good time. Paul writes to Timothy and said, God, who richly provides us with everything for all, for our enjoyment. And that was just after he said that we should earn money, we should save, we should be generous, but we should also enjoy. And one of the big secrets for enjoyment is to savor, to learn to wait a minute. You know, if you eat and you savor something, is to really taste it, to roll it around, to activate all the taste buds that you have so that the experience can linger, so that you can deeply enjoy something. We've got to learn to keep our souls. What does your soul need? Do you know? Well, it's a journey to go on. Celebrate. We need water and fire, and perhaps solitude and boundaries has something to do with abstinence. But using your gifts and celebrating are practices of engagement. That's fire. What do you need? Do you have a self-care plan? Are you willing to go with Jesus on a journey to learn to live? But to learn to live a way of life, a certain way, that are fruitful, that are healthy. Are you willing to develop a rhythm of grace with Jesus? So one of my friends, we went on a prayer journey for a few months, and after that journey, decided to start to get up at 5 in the morning. And he made a joke and said, well, I'm also now part of the 5 o'clock brigade. And that was just to spend time with God. And after a few months, he said, I never could have thought what a big difference it would make in my life. He said, everything shifted. Even my socializing, because I can't socialize till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and then try to get up at 5. It changed the time that I go to bed. It had such a big impact in my life. And perhaps this is the invitation. What do you need most now to start doing so that you can work against the compassion fatigue that you are sitting with? It's a habit. It's got to be a habit weekly, for some of us daily, in order to open ourselves up for the energy, the power, the strength that comes from God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can be here together in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the wonderful way that you've made us. Help us on this journey to become aware of who we are, what our needs are, to acknowledge it, to accept it, and to do the things with you that are necessary so that we can truly live. Help us to discover that way of life. Instruct us in the practice. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the wonderful grace of Jesus be with you. Amen.